Grace, mercy, and peace be to you this morning from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus walks on water. We hear those words so often. You've got to have faith. Where is your faith? And when Jesus came out to his disciples in a boat, he put their faith to the test. Now, I don't know about you, this may not seem like a whole lot, but imagine you're on a small boat, crowded boat, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, somebody comes walking out on the water and starts calling out to you. I know I'd be terrified. So the disciples were too. But then Peter, seeing it was Jesus, believed that he could do it too. And so Jesus called him out of the boat, and he did it. He was standing there by the power of God on top of the water. But Matthew records that when Peter saw how the wind was blowing the waves, he became afraid, and he began to sink beneath the water. And I think that alone shows us that Peter's situation is true for us also. Christians have times where they put God first and where we feel good about believing in Christ, that we are on the right path, that we are following him. But most of the time, I think we are really, if we're honest, thinking about ourselves. That's why, as Christians, we are always asking God for forgiveness. Every time we start the service, we think about that when we come to church, that we are sinners before God and we call upon him for mercy. Now, when Peter sinks below the water and Jesus takes hold of him, we see that even a little faith in Jesus is saving faith. We are always getting into trouble with God. We are not following his commandments as he gave them to us. But when we call out to Jesus, no matter how many times we do it, he always answers us. He always saves us by his forgiveness. What is this thing that we call faith? What good does it do for us to have faith? And how do you get faith? There are lots of talk about faith in our world. And in this day of diversity and broadening perspectives, faith, we realize, is different. It has a different definition in different world religions. For instance, in Islam, faith is said to be a absolute submission to God, to Allah. No questions asked. You believe in God, you believe in the last day, in the judgment, and you lead a righteous life. That's what faith is. In Buddhism, faith is something altogether different. Faith is described as a conviction that something is so. It's a certain way. And it's a determination to accomplish your goals in life according to that something that you believe. And faith is also described, thirdly, as a sense of joy that comes from having these first two things. In Christianity, however, faith is different. Faith in Christianity is a gift of God. And as Christians, learning from God and his word, in the Holy Scriptures, we know that no one decides on their own that they believe that Jesus is God and that they're going to follow him all their life. If they do decide on that, it's because the Holy Spirit has taught them this, that he has come to them. If faith is genuine, then it is given by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tells us, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christian faith is given, and it changes our lives. It is a trust, a reliance on God, and it is focused, first of all, in Jesus Christ. Christianity is not a philosophy that gives us the power to accomplish our own goals. It does not allow us to submit unconditionally to God's will. I say that because each of us struggle with God's will, don't we? If we were honest, how many of you would say that you follow God's will perfectly in everything in your life? I think if you feel that way, perhaps it's because you really haven't examined God's commandments carefully. Not only are they the do's and don'ts, but they are the thoughts and the will inside us. They address those things too. That is sin. We still struggle with what God asks of us, but the gift of faith brings us to believe that nothing is more important in our life. None of these desires or thoughts or inclinations. Nothing is as important than following Jesus. Like Peter walking on the water for just a moment, faith can give us that good feeling that we are on top of the world, that God is with us, that he's watching over and guiding us, and that we will live with him forever. But then again, like Peter falling beneath the waves, faith is a struggle, and it doesn't promise that life will go easy for us. Now, this week, a friend wrote me a note and shared with me that things did not go easy for the remaining 11 disciples after Jesus went back into heaven. And I reflected on this for a minute. The only disciple of Jesus mentioned in his death is James, the disciple that was the brother of John, the fisherman. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that Herod Agrippa had him beheaded. Now, according to the early church fathers, there are many traditions about what happened to the other 10, you know, saying minus Judas, we know his end. According to the early fathers, Simon Peter was crucified upside down in Rome in the time of Caesar Nero. Andrew was crucified in Greece. Philip was crucified in modern-day Turkey. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, traveled east and was skinned alive and crucified upside down in Azerbaijan. Thomas preached in Syria, in Turkey, and then he went to India, where he died when he was shot through with arrows. Matthew died in modern-day Iran. James, son of Alphaeus, also called James the Less, was either stoned in Palestine or crucified and sawed apart in Egypt. We have two different traditions there. Thaddeus, also called St. Jude, preached to the Armenians and died in what is modern-day Iraq. Simon the Zealot is one of two who perhaps died of natural causes at an old age, as well as John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, which a strong tradition says he died of old age after facing much persecution, banishment, and imprisonment, and finally died at Ephesus in modern-day Turkey. Now, if this is what happened to the disciples who walked with the Lord, and for the rest of their lives devoted every minute to him, serving him, I can't tell you today that if you have faith in Jesus more than anything else, you won't be spared from great hardship. None of the original disciples received this, and they were holy men of God. We can't expect better from the Lord. But faith does save. And yes, by grace, you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. The Bible says this is a gift of God, not because of your own good works, so that we can't boast about ourselves. But faith does save. And Peter, who began to doubt on that midnight walk on the water and began to slip below the waves, was saved by the act of Jesus reaching out his hand to Peter, taking hold of him, and pulling him out of the water back to safety. And Jesus reached out for you and for all the people of the world when they stretched him out on a cross. It was his crowning work of salvation to give his life as a sacrifice for sin, for your sin. If you are a believer in Jesus, then God has worked this in you. We can expect many challenges in life to saving faith. We will be tried. We will be tested. But even when we are afraid, we can call out to a loving God. Essentially, isn't that what this service today is about? The people of God calling out in the name of Jesus for help, for salvation. You hear it in the Kyrie as we started the service after baptism today. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We pray and we ask him to save us and help us. And he does. He saves us as he comes to us through his word, as we hear his word preached and taught. In baptism, as we've witnessed today in this child of Doug and Megan, where he washes away our sin, that sin that we are born with, just being a part of this world. And we go back to that baptism whenever we remember our sin and call upon the name of Jesus. We remember that we are baptized. God has washed us. And the Lord comes to us in his supper, where he feeds and sustains our body and our soul with his own body and blood. We depend on these things as Christians. These are first and foremost things for us. We depend on Jesus, not on ourselves, and that is faith. And like the first disciples, believing in Jesus takes us places, sometimes dangerous places, such as when we are criticized for having faith or attacked. But following Jesus is foremost. So we, like them, go on. In the Olympic Games in Beijing, where you might win a gold medal, that's where the road ends as an athlete. This is every athlete's dream. But in every event, only one person can win the gold. But how different it is for us as Christians. For every Christian who keeps the faith wins the gold, a place in the kingdom of heaven, and a life filled with a peace in the presence of God in Jesus Christ. All of this because of Jesus. This is faith, to believe and to follow. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.